This morning, our message is out of Judges. I mostly preach out of the New Testament, but occasionally there is a message in the Old Testament that is worth sharing. And I don't know how many of you read out of the Old Testament as far as your Bible reading, but I encourage you to read through the Bible. I try to do that in a year's time. And when you come to stories and events like this one in Judges, and today I won't be able to share all three chapters of Judges 14, 15, and 16, but I encourage you sometime today to read the event of Samson, chapter 14 through 16. And you'll get a picture of life, how that it can be have its ups and it can have its downs, and how God still, in the midst of all of Samson's trials and hardships and ups and downs, he was triumphed in the end, because he went back to the Lord and said, "Give me another chance. I need one more chance." And he did. And of course, it took. Cost him his life, but in the end we see that God was in control of even that situation. So if you will join me with chapter 16, I'll read verses 20, start with verse 20, which ends the chapter, but I would like to start at 14. That's a lot of reading, but join with me with Judges chapter 16, beginning with verse 20. She said, Delilah, of course, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out." And he's saying, I will go out, as he usually did. This time was different. "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that and this is the sad part right here, the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. After the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to the Dagon, their god, and to rejoice for their, they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." It so happened when they were in the high spirits, and they said, "Call for Samson, that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison. And he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillows. Then Samson said to the boy, who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God." And when you see the Lord here in this context, it means he was calling on Yahweh, the Hebrew word for God, for Lord. "Please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson grasped the two miller pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, and the one with his right hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all of his might, so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those who he killed in his life. I remember this story, and my grandfather, Robert H. Hale, Robert Harrison Hale, would tell me this story quite often. Of course, he farmed. He was a pastor as well. After lunch, we'd go sit in his chair, and I'd get in his lap, and he would start reading stories out of the Old Testament. And this was one of my favorite. And when he'd get through with this one, I'd say, "Tell it again." He said, "No, we don't have time to do it again today. We got to go back out and work." And that's what I didn't want to hear. I wanted to hear, "Let's hear the story again." But he would tell, and I would be so fascinated. I'd get so caught up in all the things that Samson did that I just felt like I was there right on the scene watching all this happen. But some are born to privilege, with many advantages and can't seem to succeed, and then others are opposite, born to nothing and rise above all that to great success. Samson was the example of the former. Now he was born at a special time in Israel's history, ready when they needed him. Because he was one of the judges. He judged Israel for 20 years. 7 times this nation had rebelled into apostasy. And this time it is the Philistines which God used to punish and oppose Israel. And they did it for 40 years. They were actually, when you think of the Philistines, they were Israel's worst enemy. Samson's name means sunshine. I don't know. Sunshine, you think about that. When you think about sunshine, you think about daylight. It brings light to the world. So Samson was to bring light to the nation of Israel. And in the darkest days of his nation's history, Samson, or Sunshine, came into the world, hopefully to make a difference. Not only that, he was a Nazarite, which means different, separated, or set aside. So all three of these represented who Samson was in his life. And it represents a lot of us today in our life, how God has placed us here to make a difference somehow, to help add others to the kingdom. But he was a Nazarite, and it means different, separated, and set aside. He was to have no wine or fruit of the vine. That was a Nazarite vow. He couldn't come near or touch a dead body, and it didn't matter if it was an animal or a human. And he couldn't even cut his hair. Why? Well, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" Well, let me clarify this from the Old Testament, what the New Testament. There was a reason. It was an act of humility and self-abasement to take this shame upon himself. And Samson had been given great strength of the Lord. all the way through these three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, it showed that God, when the Spirit of God comes upon Samson. And on another occasion, he lifted the gates of the city on a hill, and he took them up the hill on his shoulders. You imagine that, taking the city? And those gates had to be heavy. Didn't have cranes, didn't have lifts back then. Samson just pulled them up, rooted them up, put them on his shoulders, and up the hill he went. Another occasion, he slew 1,000 Philistines with just the jawbone of a donkey. And when my grandfather would tell me that, I said, wow, that's a lot of men with just a jawbone. I said, that's just be like taking Bill's jawbone and slaying all those people. Bill was my grandfather's mule, by the way. But he was living and doing well, Bill was, but that was his name. And I would use that example. Well, that's just like taking his out of his jaw and whooping up on him. And he would grin and laugh and go on with his story. And then there was the time he was confronted with a wild lion and destroyed it with his bare hands. Of course, Mom and Dad didn't know about that. And I often wonder, you think, what did Samson look like? You think he looked like Schwarzenegger, a bodybuilder? Well, probably not. Probably just average. How do we know that? I think because Delilah asked him the secret of his strength. And evidently it wasn't obvious. He looked like just an ordinary person. But Samson had supernatural strength. It didn't come from himself, did it? No man could have that kind of strength. It had to come from God. In verses 5 and 6, which I didn't read, and in chapter 15, verse 14, it says, in each case, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, something's going to happen. Something's going to take place. You might start shouting. You might start leaping pews. Or you might have strength untold that you've never had before. But God works in mysterious ways in his life. He worked in Samson's life. He was not only strong in body, but in mind and in spirit. He was sharp-witted because he liked to tell riddles. He loved riddles and had a great sense of humor. No wonder his name was Sunshine. He was a bundle of potential. And yet, this is not a happy story. It's a story of tragedy. He went from hero to zero, from victor to victim in his life. Disobedience, defeat, disgrace, and destruction is a way to describe Samson's life. He was bound before men, he was bold before men. But he was weak before who? Women. He was bold, strong, would stand forth, take charge. But when it came to women, he was weak. He had the Spirit of God upon him, but lived for the appetites of the flesh often. He was called upon to declare war upon the enemies of God, but many times we find him fraternizing with the enemies of God. He fought the Lord's battles day by day and then broke the Lord's commandments by night. Again, Sunshine was his name, which speaks of light. Yet, he ended his life in the darkness, having his eyes poked out. Can you imagine that? At times he soared in incredible heights, but also sunk in incredible depths. If you had told Samson at the very beginning of his life what was going to take place and how it was going to end, he probably wouldn't have believed it. He would not have thought himself capable of going that far away from God. And this is a scary reminder that there could be three people in your seats right now. Why would I say that? Because the person you are, the one that you could be for God, and the one could be for the devil. Samson was all three of these people. And then you might often say, and I, you know what, I asked my grandfather this. I said, was Samson even saved? My grandfather said, yes, he was. And he concluded that with telling me the end of the story. And then I could see. And he would take me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32, 34, where it named not only him, but Moses and others who were heroes of the faith. It mentions him as a hero of the faith. So even Samson didn't lose his salvation. Because in the end, he called upon God and God gave him his strength back one last time. So, I was thinking about Samson's life. You can be saved and then do anything you want. I was thinking that. And pretty much so in Samson's life or anybody's life. But you can't choose the consequences. Those will happen. And Samson paid the high price of bad choices and low living. So let's look, first of all, at Samson, what he did. He dishonored his parents. In chapter 14, 1 through 3, it was his first step of his downward journey. He had a godly parents who pleaded with him to do the right thing and avoid unequal yoke. See, they said, you want a wife? Take one here in your own country, in your own nation. And yet he avoided that. He said, no, I want to go there. And that's what he did. He went to that nation to find his wife. In Hebrews, Samson, the second thing, Samson deserted his promise. He took the Nazarite vow. In verse 5, if you want to turn there with me, in chapter 14, verse 5, Judges 14:5 says, then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother and came as far as the vineyard of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came roaring towards him. Now, the down, certain verses or certain words in the Bible mean certain things. And I was looking at this thing. Of course, the down here is a geographical term, but it has more meaning than that to me. When you run from God, you're going down. And that's what happened. Well, that happened to Noah, didn't he? He ran from God. Look how far he ran from God. And Jonah, he went down over and over again until he went to God. He went God's way. And then it also speaks about vineyards. He went to a place he wasn't supposed to be. Remember? A Nazarite vow. Wasn't supposed to drink wine or even the fruit of the vine. You see, So that's just a little thing. It is. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's when we are just flirting with sin that the slippery slopes take over. In chapter 14, 6 through 9, more disobedience. It talks about a carcass. In verse 8, he keeps violating his vows. He wasn't even supposed to touch humans, dead humans, or our animals. When he went, he killed that lion. On his way back, bees had built, and they had honey in there, and he took of that, and he ate of it, and he even gave it to his parents. Of course, they didn't know where he got it. I mean, he didn't tell them, but he broke another vow there. He is losing his focus. He is sinning in high gear, and it's downward spiral. See, Samson reminds me of Lot in Genesis. In the end, Lot's story, he is committing incest with his daughters, giving birth to wicked nations, but which still plagues the earth today. Lot's sin still plagues the earth today. And yet, in the beginning, Lot was a Christian who no one thought was capable of doing such things. Now, how did it start for Lot? If you read the scriptures, it said he lifted up his eyes towards Sodom. He just looked that direction. You know, its eyes get you in trouble sometimes. Not only does a mouth, but our eyes get us in trouble. He looked towards Sodom. He just looked that direction. Then he headed that direction, pitching his tent as he could look out at it. And eventually he was right there at the gates. That began Lot's downfall. So what does this tell us? The deeper you go into sin, the blinder you get. Samson was blind long before his eyes was gouged out. And then, Samson distorted his purpose. In verses 14, chapter 14, verse 10 through 14, is the wedding. And all the guests of the Philistines, he was with the wrong crowd. You heard people say, when somebody gets in trouble, he was just in the wrong crowd. He was the wrong group of people. You hear this over and over. I've heard it all my life. Well, Samson, this happened to him. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, "He that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The riddle he gave was based on his experience with the lion, and there's no way that they could figure it out without knowing what had happened. So they go to his wife to get her to tell him or entice her to give up the answer. And they threatened her in verses 15 and 16. That's when she turned on the tears in verse 17 and got her answer. You know, I was thinking about Samson. He could stand before an army, but he could not before a crying woman. Now, in verse 18, look at verse 18 with me, of chapter 14, which says, "So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey? What is greater than a lion?' And he said to them, 'If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out the riddle.'" A note to you gentlemen, calling your wife a heifer is a bad mistake. David Moore used to use that term a lot. And back in Tennessee, he called everything a heifer. I don't know if he ever called Louise that, but he called everything else that, a heifer. So more importantly, notice that Samson is playing games with the enemy. He is not fighting God's battles, but his own at this point. He had distorted his purpose. And, you know, when I think about nations, like the nation of Israel, all of their rebellion, all the things that they did in disobedience to God, because God had chosen the nation of Israel. He had chosen kings. He had chosen judges, and Samson one of them. Many of them were good, and many of them started out good, and many of them ended good, and some started out good and ended up not so good. Of course, that's what ruled the nation of Israel before they received their first king, King Saul. They had many judges, and Samson was one of them. And America is no longer fighting the real enemy, I'm afraid, but fighting our own battles internally, playing games with the enemy. We see evidence of that today. And you see, God gives good gifts and abilities, so we must not deceive ourselves and use them for the wrong purposes, but only for God. And now we see Samson. He diluted his power. Now he's sitting in Delilah's hair salon. In verses 16 through chapter 16, verses 4 on. And she tries to learn the secret of his strength. He toys with her, telling her lies. Tie me with a green wreath. Tie my hair in locks. Now he's getting closer to the truth, isn't he? The devil just tries to get us to take small steps in his direction. And when we do that, there's consequences. Finally, he caves in and tells her the truth. He breaks the final part of his Nazarene vow. Now it's too late. The point of no return, and here is the saddest verse, verse 20, I think is the saddest verse in the life of Samson. It says, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. She said that many times before. Why didn't he learn his lesson with the previous wife? And his father-in-law gave his first wife away, and then he met Delilah, married her, and same scenario takes off again. And it says, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep, and he said, I will go out as other times and shake off myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. I think this is the saddest verse in the story of Samson. He didn't know. Up to this time, he knew that God was with him in every event, everything that he was confronted with. He knew that God had his back. This time, when he broke the vow of cutting his hair, God withdrew his spirit, and he didn't even know it. He lost his power. He didn't even know it. A lot of Christians don't even realize how cold they've grown and how far away from God they have slowly come. And sometimes it's too late, but God always gives us an opportunity to return. Now, the great lesson here, I believe, for us today is, of this book, is that God would rather forgive than to judge. He'd rather forgive us. He gave Israel time after time after time to repent. And oftentimes they did, but they go right back off in the deep sin again. But he had rather to forgive us than to judge us. And along the way, Samson made mistakes, but could have made them right and been restored, but he went all the way with sin. Sin binds, sin blinds, and then sin grinds slowly, grinds away at you. And this is what happened with Samson. In verse 21, it says, "Then the Philistines seized him and gouged at his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and it was a grind, he was a grinder in prison." See, even in the downward spiral of a miracle, which we've seen to be witnessing already in progress, there's hope. There's hope for Israel. There's hope for America. There's hope for every nation. God would rather forgive than judge. And if we insist on his judgment, there could be great victory and the tragedy and the multitudes could be saved if we would go through the mighty judgment and God still get the great victory. I'd like to close with the last few verses here in chapter 16, verse 28. "Then Samson called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines by my two eyes.' Samson grasped the two middle pillars and on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with the right in the hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were there in it. So the dead whom he killed at the death were more than those he killed in his life." The earnest plea that Samson had there at the last, "Lord, give me one more chance. Give me that power. Give me that strength. Let me prove myself faithful just this one time." And then he said, "Let me die with them, all these people." And God granted him his wish. You know, God is faithful to every one of us. And all of the examples and the things that Samson went through are examples for us today. It's an example for nations. It's an example for each one of us as Christians. That whatever God has set aside for us to follow as commands and so forth is beneficial. It helps us that, and when we stray away from the Word of God, then he is willing to forgive us. He'd rather forgive us than to judge us. And the consequences are very, very severe when we stray away from God. See, God used Samson in a mighty way. He uses us in a mighty way. But he wants to bless us if we'll be faithful. Be faithful in all that we do in his name. It's a lesson to us to read the Old Testament and see how God worked then and how he is working today in our lives. You know, our lives as a nation, as a community, you know, revolves around our relationship with God. And if churches would and the people in the church, the people make up the church, if they would seek God's faith and turn from their wicked ways, God is going to hear, answer, and heal our lands. He will heal our lives. He will put all the pieces back together that has been separated because of sin in the lives of nations and in individual and in our lives. But we must be willing to turn to God, and he'll heal us. He'll forgive us of our sins. And we can make a difference if it starts right here with ourselves. Amen? It has to start here. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your love and your watching care over our lives, even when we mess up. Lord, we thank you for Samson's life as an example. And even though he's mentioned in Hebrews as a hero, Lord, we thank you that he had victory at the end. Even though it cost him his life, that's the consequences of sin. But yet the victory that he's with you today. And it gives us an example for us to use to help others to realize that trusting you and being faithful to you and obedient to you is the best way. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And help us to be willing to surrender our all and surrender our obedience to you through your Holy Spirit, through your power, who gives us access to so many avenues of witnessing for you. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you faithfully or don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, may this invitation open up every one of our eyes to realize that we need to take that step forward and ask your forgiveness and ask for your cleansing and to receive the power that you want us to have to be your witnesses for your kingdom. We praise you and we thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 342, I believe, Just As I Am. I'll be here at the front to pray with you, talk with you, whatever God's leading you to do at this